B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you from Banner's Kitchen and Tap here at the Boston Garden in advance of Bruins Canadiens here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub alongside Maz and Big Jim Burry. Again, Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston. Hi, Maz.
Très bien, vous.
Huh?
It's good. You in French.
Okay. Murray, how are you?
Bienvenue.
Okay. All right. So I thought we'd start off today with everything other than the Brady watch.
Fine. Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. And so you people out there, you people, if you want to weigh in on something other than Brady, this is your chance. Okay. Celtics last night, Bruins tonight, and Bruins at the deadline. And there's a new juicy rumor I got for you. So that will be on the board. Any Red Sox leftover thing. Okay, so the phones are already open for you. We have already released the little puppy dogs at 617-779-0985. Let me start by asking you, you watched the Celtics last night, Maz?
I did. I watched some of it. I didn't stay up for the end, but I caught up on some of it this morning.
Well. Hold on a second. How are we sounding, Josh?
Hello.
We in the echo chamber?
Not yet.
Okay.
Hello.
So we'll get you there.
Did you watch the Celtics last night?
I did. I told you. I watched the beginning of it. I didn't stay up for the end, and then I caught the end this morning.
And what were your thoughts?
I think they have a big problem defending the Houston backcourt, like most teams in the league. That, you know, Marcus Smart, for all his just defensive strengths, that's a bad team for him to play defense against. Now, I know where you're going. I just picked the Celtic angle to it. But to me, you know, it's a mismatch for them. It's a problem, as it is for most teams in the league. But honestly, I don't worry about the Rockets.
Okay, I don't worry about them either. Trash team.
Still, the Celtics got sloppy and stupid in the fourth, and they shouldn't have played Jaylen Brown. That was my biggest concern going into the game. He's had two bad ankles, and credit to him, I guess he wanted to power through, but he shouldn't have played, and they should sit him for the next game.
Okay, trash team.
Aren't they brutal to watch?
I think the Rockets, Maz, are trash.
Yeah, it's largely because of the coach, but it's also because of their two best players. But anyway, go ahead.
I think it's garbage. I think all they do is put stress on the referee. It's all they do. With their head snaps, they're kicking their legs out on threes. And you know, last night was gross, but it's how they play every night.
And that's Harden more than anyone else.
If you look at it.
The head snap, I mean, that's been part of his game forever. It's unwatchable.
Again, the Celts were pissed after the game because of the free throw disparity, and they were frustrated by the whole game, and I don't blame them. The Rockets, that is a trash team. Rockets, 37-42 at the line. 37-42 at the line. The Celts were 20-25. Now, the fouls were only 26-21, but the Rockets got all shooting fouls and some three-point fouls in there. Those cheesy, stupid shooting fouls on the three-point shot the Rockets are good at. So, combined in that game last night, there were 67 effing free throws.
Too much. See, my issue, you know,
painful.
Yeah, and my issue is with D'Antoni, the coach, because this has been true everywhere he's gone. And in the case of the Rockets, it's a horrible match in terms of the spectator experience because it's Harden and D'Antoni, a ball hog with a coach who wants him to hog the ball. You know what D'Antoni, you know what he does to coach? He rolls out the ball, and he says, Harden and Westbrook, you guys play, and if you feel like passing anyone else, go ahead. Otherwise, you guys just keep the ball all night. That's their offense.
Brutal.
It's so, why they'll never win, by the way, but go ahead.
Of course.
There's not enough structure there.
No shot. No shot. Trash team. Trash. Harden. Harden alone scored 42, 17 of which was at the line. 17 of 18 at the line.
Mm-hmm.
He was 7 of 6 from behind the arc. 7 of 16 behind the arc. He only scored two field goals,
mm-hmm.
two-point field goals.
Correct.
So the rest is chuck it up or go to the drive and draw a foul.
Correct.
The entire game, which is what they are. Houston is first in the league in free throws, 26.5 a game. They are first in the league in three-point attempts, Okay. Is this right? Did I get that right? 43.9 three-point attempts per
no,
game?
No, I think that's right. They average over 43s a game.
44 threes
it's a been
game.
That way. It's been that way for a while now. And they take the fewest two-pointers in basketball.
So they average over 26 free throws a game and 44 three-pointers a game. And they rank 21st in defense. So here's how the Rockets play. Chuck. Either chuck it or draw a foul and then jog back, and you don't really have to play D.
Correct. They play no D.
It's horrible.
Which, again, it's D'Antoni's. It's a D'Antoni system. It's a classic D'Antoni system.
Trash.
When I say they take the fewest twos, they take the fewest mid-range shots in the league per game. It's like a handful of game that they take, and that's it. It's a joke. They are either shooting in the paint or shooting beyond the arc. That's it.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, like, what does it mean for the Celtics? I'm with you. They're on a road trip. Houston got hot. It was one of those frustrating games. They're not going to face a team like that in the East. No team in the East plays. Hardly any team in the league plays, you know, like that much of. I know the whole league is sort of gone in that direction, but boy, I think the Rockets are garbage. So the Celtics aren't going to play that kind of team, and so I don't really take anything away from it other than, and I'm going to pound this, so, you know, you don't like it, that's tough. But seems to me like the Celts could have used another shooter in that game. Tatum was a little off. Kemba Walker was a little off. And so it's, you know, it's a good thing Danny's held on to Ojale, Edwards, Langford, and Javante Green there. 0 points, 13 combined minutes. Meanwhile, I just checked on it. Maine has won their last two, 7 of 10, and stand just a game and a half out of first place.
They're rolling.
In the G League. Now, that's a championship-driven team. Thank God the Celtics can go into a game like last night with Ojale, Edwards, Langford, and Green for no points in 13 minutes and barely a thought. But we got to hang on to those assets. I'm not sure, Chris Forsberg, if there's room on the roster for another veteran shooter.
You know, the guy I'm surprised they didn't get is the guy in Washington.
Bertans.
Yeah, the Latvian Beetle.
No. The spin machine will tell you he actually wasn't available.
Yeah, an expiring contract. You can't move two first-round picks. When you have three and still would have one left over for Davis Bertans because he's on an expiring contract, that would be bad business, man. You can't do that.
I mean, that guy really, he's right up their alley, right?
6'9 can shoot the three.
Well,
who wants that?
He's perfect for them.
Marvin Williams is the same thing. 6'9 and shoots the three.
Well, except this guy shoots it at 43%.
Marvin Williams is like 38.
Gibbs, I mean, to me.
And on corner threes, too, so you can get that, extrapolate that. Marvin Williams is like 55%.
Yeah, wow. I think Bertans is a superior shooter. Maybe Williams a more versatile player. But that aside, to me, that was the one.
Well, no. Their roster's full, man. No. So I don't know if you've heard this.
No, I did. I heard Ed Forsberg told
you
me.
You can't have a dip and play up in Maine. Hashtag Crustacean Nation.
The roster's full.
Claws up.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, you go 12 deep.
But, I mean, I really take away that Rockets team. I hate them.
I hate Harden and Westbrook, as athletically gifted as they are, might be the two players in the league I hate the most of all. And I hate a lot of players in the NBA, as you know. But I look at those two in particular. I just think that they just play at a frantic pace and they're volume players. Westbrook especially. Harden's better than Westbrook. Harden can at least shoot from behind the arc.
But it's all isolation ball.
Totally. It's totally.
No
it's
one's just sharing the ball. No one's working the ball. I mean, they'll kick it out, you know, and kick it around the line a little bit, but there's no offense.
No, D'Antoni's practice is, James and Russell, what do you guys want to do today? And then he gives him the ball and says, go ahead. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole team. There's nothing to it. Like, it's just about those guys breaking people down and either going to the hoop and getting fouled or shooting a three. That's it. That's the whole offense.
Okay, bets. And so, again, we're going to start off everything other than Brady Watch. If you want in on that, now's your time. Kevin Pillar to the Red Sox. Give me a minute on that.
Okay, so Kevin Pillar, to me, this is a bench move. It's not anything beyond that. I was driving home last night. I heard Pac-Man talking about it on the night show, Adam Jones and Christian Arkand. And he was saying that maybe, you know, in typical Jones fashion, he was celebrating because Jackie Bradley was going to be shipped out of town. I don't see it that way. I think this is their entire outfield with Betts gone is left-handed. You go right across. Benintendi, Bradley, and now Verdugo, all left-handed. Bradley's never hit left-handed pitching. He slugs, you know, 360 against lefties or something.
They're paying him $11 million to platoon out there.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, it's sad, right? I mean, that in Bradley's case.
Right. I mean, that's what we're talking
about. Yeah, really. I mean, that's effectively what it comes down to. And they're probably going to pick their spots with Pillar. Maybe Benintendi will sit from time to time or whatever.
Could it make Bradley expendable? Because to me, that would be...
Sure.
Like, I think there's value there.
Yeah, sure there is. Yeah.
It definitely does in terms of defense. That was the first thing I thought. I didn't even hear Jones last night, but when I heard that they signed him, I was like, okay, this means they can trade Bradley at the trade deadline.
Pilar's a great defensive player.
He is excellent. Yep. And you, so you're not going to lose anything there, if anything at all.
And his hitting's
comparable.
Unfortunately, the same.
Yeah.
But, same kind of heck.
But so I haven't heard the money on the contract.
Right, but he'll cost you $2 to $3 million maybe, as opposed to 11?
Yeah, I was going to say half. Like, I don't even know what the number is. I guessed $5 million is what I guessed. I have no idea. I haven't seen a report on the money yet. But to me, absolutely, he's a right-handed Bradley. That's a good way to look at it.
Okay, so hopefully that means Bradley's expendable. And that's why, if you're clearing the decks, and this is a big sort of bridge year, right, then clear the decks, clear the books. And if there's no reason Jackie Bradley should be here. I am sorry.
I mean, Bradley should have been the first guy out the door.
Oh.
Why they have kept Bradley this long, to me, I don't have a clue. I really don't. And honestly, even with or without Pilar, and I'm not all that worried about the lineup. I think the lineup's pretty good.
Okay, we'll also do some Bruins this hour. Montreal in town tonight. Those always mean a little bit more. They should mean a little bit more to you. They always mean a little bit more to me. If you look at the standings, Tampa's just about caught you. Just about caught you. The games in hand are finally even. The Bruins had played, two, three, four games more than the Lightning all season long. The Lightning finally caught up in the games played. They are 1 point behind.
What, have they lost like two games since Christmas or something like
that? They are 1 point behind. They are on fire, as Murray just mentioned, and they have you in that ROW tiebreaker. So, and they're better than you. And they're better than you. So this thing about you winning that division or whatnot, it's now in the balance. So there's the double benefit there of, well, if you want to stay ahead of Tampa, stay ahead of Tampa and knocking Montreal further out of it. Montreal's played better of late. They're starting to creep back into it. But I love the thought of Claude Julien, who we just couldn't fire. Oh, if you're going to fire Claude Felger, who do you want to hire? You got to know that, don't you? No, I don't. No, I don't. Harry Schmedlap, Harry Fenefesi, or Bruce Cassidy. I don't know. I just knew it was time for Claude Julien. Oh, they just lost the best thing they had going for them. Really? Okay. Montreal's out of the playoffs for the third straight year or whatever it is. I'd like to knock them further out. Claude's just barely hanging on there in Montreal. So I always enjoy beating Montreal. They always mean a little bit more to me. But if you look at the standings, it's starting to mean something. You look at it.
And to your point, I mean, winning the division makes a difference.
Well, it makes a difference in that you get a wild card team.
Instead of Toronto.
Again, I'd have to make Tampa the favorite just because they're better and they've woken up and they're right there with you. And if they catch you and it's you going to that second spot, it's going to be you and Toronto again in the first round. How many times can you rely on them coming in here in Game 7? Puking all over the
100 out of 100.
I knew Murray was going to say that. And he might be right. Like, that's the amazing part of it. But
it'll go 7 games. You'll have a bit of a scare, and you'll still win the series.
So I still respect the talent on the Toronto roster. And they have good. Wouldn't you rather play Philly?
Yes. No.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
I'll take Toronto.
I mean, you want any easier series you can get in the postseason because it's going to be an absolute tractor pull to get to the finals again.
Okay. Meanwhile, on the Bruins, a really interesting name has popped up on the trade deadline, popped up on the rumor wire. We'll get to that. We'll get your thoughts on the Celts. You'll mix in some Red Sox stuff before we go all Brady all the time coming up in about an hour or so. But your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
116-105. They clear midcourt. And rookie Michael Frazier will dribble out the clock. Houston Rockets pick up their third straight win over the Celtics. They beat them both times last year, and they score 116 points and beat them in match number one this year as well. It's all over here. James Harden, 42 points for the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets come out of here with a home win. Your final score, Houston 116, the Celtics 105.
John Wallach on the call last night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox to start at 617-779-0985. Christian in Leominster. Go ahead, Christian.
Kelgert, wow. Brad Stevens' rotations are disgusting. The Rockets run eight guys all night, and I see Brad Stevens putting in Ogilvy. I'm seeing them putting in Edwards, Langford, who's terrible. They each combine for 0 points. They do nothing when they're on the floor besides foul. They're awful. Figure it out, Stevens.
And Wanamaker gets 20 minutes. Who, you know, had a nice game?
They love Wanamaker, yeah.
No, they do.
They love Wanamaker.
They love them. They love all those guys on the bench, man. They love all of them. This is the problem. They love them. They fall in love with all these bridgy, jag little players.
So this is where they to me, like, it relates to the coach. Because they think, well, these guys are good enough if we put them in the right spot in the right matchup. And then Stevens identifies it, and there you go. And I look at it and say, well, that's great against the crap of the league. But when you go up against a decent team, it's about they don't have enough talent on that bench. I'm sorry. So that part I look at and I say, I would have made a deal at the deadline. The first round picks, who gives a rat's ass? I'd have made a deal at the deadline.
Oh, Danny cares. Bob in Williamstown. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So, Maz, what you just said resonated. Their bench is abysmal. After number seven, they've got nothing there.
Number seven?
Right, after the seventh person, there's nothing there. Okay?
Well, So Smart and Cantor call it 6-7, right? Those are viable
choices. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And then after that, who do you got?
Nothing.
You have nothing, exactly. Oh, by the way, I cannot stand James Harden. What a flopper. You call Marcus Smart a flopper, Felger? Harden flops more than he does.
Oh, it's the worst.
Anyway.
That is the worst team. That is the worst team to watch. Just keep snapping your head back, tool bag, and then to play zero defense. Chuck and duck. First in the league in free throws, first in the league in three-pointers, 21st in defense. Jog down the floor, either just chuck it or flop and get to the line, and then jog back on D. I didn't even bother looking up the rebounds, but their tallest player is 6'6", so I don't even think they care about rebounds.
Well, right, ever since they got rid of Capella, it is. It's strictly, and I say got rid of, the trade deadline. Harden to me is purely he's a fantasy player. That's what he is. He puts up numbers. I don't see great compete in Harden. I don't see a guy who makes other people better. Like, I've hated James Harden for years. I was way ahead of the curve on this. Way ahead of the curve.
Jason in Easton on the Bruins. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So here we are again for the umpteenth year in a row where the Bruins need a second-line wing to play with Krejci. So, last year they gave up Ryan Donato to get Charlie Coyle. Do you think they can give up a similar sort of mid-level prospect to get Tyler Toffoli? Or do you go all in, and give up a little bit more to get Chris Kreider because he's a little more talented?
So I am leery of Chris Kreider overpaying for Chris Kreider. I think the gap between a Tyler Toffoli, just situationally and what they would do for you, I think the gap between Tyler Toffoli and Kreider is, in some cases, I almost want Toffoli more. He's had more of those long runs and more of that pedigree, who's been there and done it. Kreider's probably better, but Toffoli, I think Toffoli comes at a better price, less expectation. I'm just a little leery of giving up that first-round pick for that top guy on the board. Unless, let me give you one that, came across my radar last night. An emailer sent me something, and you'll hear the sound here coming up. About Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall won the MVP a couple years ago in Jersey, was just traded to the Arizona Coyotes, just traded last month in December. But the word in Arizona and the word in some league circles is that Arizona's been falling out of the playoffs. I think they're either the eighth seed right now in the West or a point out. They're right there. They're right there on the line in the West, but they've been falling out of it pretty quickly. And Hall's up. And he's going to get the next $11, $12 million a year contracts.
And he ain't going to re-sign there.
Stupid contract. So Arizona looks at it and says, well, if we're out of the playoffs and we're not going to re-sign the guy, and we just gave up a handful of prospects for him, why not try and chase those prospects back and, cut our losses? It didn't work. And sell the rental just a couple months after buying the rental. Taylor Hall, MVP left wing. And so that's why I mentioned that. There's one issue I have with it. Left wing. Okay.
I have multiple issues. I don't want them.
Second issue. I have spoken to some players. So this is a rare time I actually have some genuine insight for you. Inside insight. I've talked to some, at least one of his former teammates.
Did you get an Apple Watch?
Nope. It was face to face. I'm analog, Maz. So one of his former teammates had such atrocious things to say about the guy.
Like, see, that's why I don't want him.
The guy I spoke to said it's the worst guy I've ever played with. And meaning just as a guy, a teammate,
yep.
Fake effort on the ice, doesn't do the right things off the ice. And, you know, I mean, I think you can tell. The guy's an MVP, and he's been traded.
What other good year has he had?
2-3 times, and he's never carried the team anywhere. Like, any team that he's been on, what have they?
I remember there's like a 10-game stretch with New Jersey before he got traded where they were better without him, where he wasn't playing.
So his
his MVP season, he was awesome. He had almost 40 goals, I think.
Right.
And almost 100 points. Like in the 90s, I want to say. But other than that, he's never gotten 30, I don't think.
Okay. He is one talented kid. You know, obviously, first overall pick in the Sagan year.
Yep.
MVP just a couple years ago. Super talented guy. And Arizona may be selling on him just a couple months after buying him. Let me tell you what Arizona gave up. They gave up a conditional first, a conditional third, and then three players who were not NHL players. They were all minor league players, but they were all fairly high draft picks. Kevin Ball, Nick Merkley, Nate Schnarr. So I don't know who these guys are. Ball was a former second-round pick. Merkley was a former first-round pick, 30th overall, was at the end of the round. And Schnarr was a former third-round pick, but none of them had broken into the league. Okay? So I sort of treat those as glorified draft picks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for Taylor Hall, they gave up a first, call it two firsts, a third, two thirds, and a second, right? But there's some combination there. So for you to get Taylor Hall, a first, Danton Heinen, Trent Frederick, and then, you know, something else in Providence.
It shouldn't even take that much because there's less of the season left.
Because there's less of the season. So those were five assets that Arizona gave up. Can you get away with three? A first is going to, I mean, you're going to have to include a first.
I bet you a three gets it.
Okay, a first and a third?
Three assets gets it.
Or a first, Trent Frederick, Oscar Steen, a first. And I just keep saying Trent Frederick. I mean, these are comparable guys to what Arizona gave up, which are first, second, third round picks in the last couple of years that are still in the AHL or in juniors. Okay, so that sort of package. It's tempting, Maz.
Yeah, so listen, I would tell you if this guy weren't an epic dick, my answer would be yes. Okay, but I'm no. Mike, he was the number one pick in the draft. He just won the MVP a couple of years ago. He's 28. How many teams has he been on already?
Is it three or four?
And so it's going to be four at this deadline if he gets moved, or it's going to be four when he signs. If it's both, it'll be five teams.
Right.
Five for the number one pick in the draft. No. One of the things that the Bruins have always had going for them is their locker room. The room is terrific. And generally speaking, over the last, you know, whatever, 6-7 years, it's always been a strength of the team. They have good leadership. They play for each other. You know, there have been pockets of occasions where things didn't go right and they had some infighting, most notably Sagan or whatever else. Okay? I'm not bringing this guy in. I know what the talent is. I hear you.
Short duration.
No.
Role player, meaning he's not one of the stars. He's not being relied. He's a second line guy. He's a maybe even second power play guy. I don't know. He'd be hard not to put him there in front of DeBrusk on the first power play. I'm sorry. You got a MVP left wing there. Maybe I'm putting him on the first power play. But you know what I mean. He's not the guy.
I know. I hear you.
He's not the guy. It's like the old Patriots
he's
thing.
He's got horrible character. Horrible.
Can he come in and ruin a room with Chara and Bergeron and that whole group?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, those guys, I don't think would allow it. I understand the concern, Matt, because he is such a puke. But I don't know. With Chara here, Bergeron, I mean, there's such a good established veteran presence with this team. I think they would just, you know, throw him into a locker if he started to go sideways.
I'm telling you, the Bruins have to throw in. They got to go in. They got to go all in. They got to throw their chips in the military, whatever cliche you want to put in it. Because they got another chance at it. I didn't think they would. And I don't know if they thought they would. But here they are. They're right back. They're right back in the thing.
Just not this guy.
And this is it. This, you know, I'm sorry. They've got it. This is the way I treated last year, too. But this is the last kick for the group of Chara, Bergeron, Rask, Krejci, like, together. That's it. This is it. And they're relatively healthy, knock on wood, and they're right there in the standings, and they got it. They're right there. They got to do something. This is the most talented guy in the market. The talent. This is the only guy you would say to me, can you close the talent gap between you and Tampa? Can you close the talent gap between you and the Capitals? And I would say no. Unless you get Taylor Hall, and now you are actually closer to them talent-wise. And there's no other player who can do that for you.
He's got no heart. No. I'd rather have Joe Thornton.
Okay, so how about both? And that's my plan. So there's your thought right there on the Bruins. Back to your calls after Murray's update. Felger and Maz from Banners.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Maz on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How devastating would it be for Arizona, Ray? Frank Cervelli, I think, wrote a piece today on Taylor Hall. They pick him up, then maybe if they keep diving, they got to move him?
Has that ever happened before where you
have a rental and then you have to flip the rental?
Yeah, but like a guy of that remember. Status.
I can't remember.
Not of that status.
No, but so let's... Let's say they decide in 10 days that, okay, yeah, they got to trade Hall, that they're not sure about where they are. So the assets that they gave up, can they recoup that in a deal? And I would say they can. I mean, yes. it's a bad luck, but, you know, because you're like, oh, you can't even get them to stay. But what if all of a sudden you decide, okay, we're not going to make it. So, or we're going to be nip and tuck to make it. Why don't we trade him to Boston? Like, Boston's been looking for that second line winger forever. Like, what if you can pull some of the, like, that's a really good prospect pool. What if you can pull something out of there that makes what you gave up to get him in the first place not so significant?
Okay, that's Ray Ferraro on TSN up in Canada. They don't sound too Canadian, do they?
Oh, my gosh.
But if Arizona punts on Taylor Hall just 2 months after bringing him in, and there have already been reports saying that Arizona's not going to do that. But I don't want to hear that. I want to flush this out just because it's telling. You know, what would you do? What would you be willing to do if you were the Bruins to push you over the top? This guy, former MVP just 2 years ago, hasn't won a GD thing. Mm-hmm. Is sort of like this era's version of Phil Kessel.
He's never won a playoff series.
You know what Phil Kessel did 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Murray?
Cup.
Won the cup. Every dog has its day.
Every dog has his day. As soon as you say the guy will never do it, there he is. He does it. And for Arizona to recoup what they gave up, a conditional first, a conditional third, and then three players who were drafted in the top three rounds recently who had yet to play in the NHL. So the Bruins could give up a first, a third, and then some sort of combination. I keep saying Trent Frederick, Oscar Steen, Jack Stadnica. Who's that defenseman?
Lozon or Vakanainen?
So I like Lozon. Vakanainen, who's not quite here yet. Feels like Lozon has passed him. Danton Heinen. You know, they're bursting at the seams with just those kind of players. Drafted in the first couple of rounds the last couple of years. You know, either sitting there in Providence or doing nothing at the end of your bench. Unlike the Celtics, I hope they're not sitting there just hoarding them, because Lord knows we can't give up on Jack Stadnica now. You know, hopefully they have a different mindset with that. So you have the ammo, easy, without barely touching your NHL roster for an MVP. I don't know, Maz.
Okay, so look, the only part of the clip that we played that I disagree with is the idea that Arizona's going to get back what they got. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, no, but what if they get 80% of it?
Yeah, so that's what they're looking at. I mean, like that. You're right, though. To me, it's a first, a third, and a player.
Yeah.
Okay, and...
Or first and two players, and the player could be someone they just drafted in the first round recently.
So I'm telling you, the cost is good, and you have the artillery to do it. I don't want the player.
Okay, Brian and Fitchburg, your thoughts.
Mike, one of the worst things that could have happened over the weekend was Jason Tucker going to Pittsburgh for a first-round pick and a player on the roster. That was terrible for the Bruins. There's no way they should be giving up first round picks for second and third line 20 goal talent. I'm kind of thinking here creative. Nashville has right now, they're starting to trend downwards, and they've got a lot of high guys, $6, $7, $8 million. They're going to start setting payroll. I'm thinking prove to Vegas for a first round pick, take that first round pick with another first round pick, and then take, you know, and Anders Bjork for Forsberg out of Nashville.
Okay, Brian, I'm just, before we get too complicated. The whole idea is to win the cup this year, right?
Yeah, that was too complicated.
Well, but...
And you're giving up Krug.
I want Krug.
Yeah.
I want Krug. And I've kind of come around on Krug in terms of I'm not trading him. I'm renting him. I'm renting Krug. Like the Red Sox should have rented Mookie Betts. Bruins have a chance to win a Stanley Cup. Krug probably gone at the end of this year. Fine. Instead of the prospects I'd get in return for Krug, I'm going to pretend that's the give to rent a high-end offensive defenseman and go on a cup run. I'm not getting rid of Krug. He's too important to what they do. And he's also, Maz, part of the fabric of that room. I mean, it's a really good room.
Sure
it's been
is.
A, for, you know, especially since Cassie took over, it's been a really consistently hardworking, diligent team whose head has basically been in the right place for 2.5 years. Krug's a big part of that. Can Taylor Hall come in and ruin that in 2 months?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think so.
See, but again, so when you say ruin it, I'm not saying that all of a sudden Chara and Bergeron are going to drop the gloves and go at it in the middle of the locker room. But I'm telling you that what I worry about is, does he fit with the culture of the team?
No.
Competitively, does he fit?
So I'm not giving him a contract.
But even so.
I'm saying like, 2 months.
You trust him in a big game?
2 months.
You trust him in a big game?
I trust him more than Danton freaking Heinen. And probably more than Anders Bjork.
No, you trust the talent more. You don't trust the heart.
I mean, I don't like the guy. But, boy, it's tempting. Christian in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Christian.
No way.
Hey, guys. I will take care on the cheese. Just wanted to bring it up.
Christian, I can barely hear you. Talk into it like it's a pizza.
I had a little take here on the C's. I just wanted to bring it up real quick based on the game last night. You guys were kind of talking about, in terms of, like, the free throws being up near 50 or so. You have these guys, Harden, Westbrook, running up and down the court, just getting in your face, pretty easily drawing these fouls. Most of that seemed to be a lot of home cooking stuff for the referee, for the refs. And I kind of think that it's worth acknowledging that, I know you guys mentioned it earlier in the show, but this isn't a team that's really your threat when it comes to the West. These guys aren't a team I don't think you would see in the finals at any point.
It's not.
And, I mean, to me, you look at Russell Westbrook and a lot of stuff he does, you got to think stat pattern, absolutely, some of the things he does.
Okay, so I like Westbrook more than Harden. At least Westbrook, I think, plays with some edge.
Yeah, he does.
And he's competitive. Harden's just floating around out there, flopping and chucking. I can't stand that guy.
He's a fantasy player. Total fantasy player. That's what he is. Westbrook does. He plays hard. I give him that. He also shoots 25% from three-point land. He makes Marcus Smart look like freaking Steph Curry.
Joel
and crying out loud.
Go ahead, Joel in Framingham. You want Taylor Hall?
Yeah, well, no, guys. So I'm going to agree with Maz here. So in the 2010 draft, Taylor Hall was the first pick in the first round. Do you know who the second pick was?
Yeah, Sagan.
Yeah, it was Sagan. How did Sagan work out? The guy didn't like him.
He
wasn't good to the locker room, right? Same guy. And I think, Felger, you just mentioned Phil Kessel. Kessel didn't work out either. Two talented guys off of the locker room.
But the point is, Joel, that as big of a turd burglar as Phil Kessel is, you know, out of shape, not a hard worker, coach killer, all these things I believe, loafer, the whole thing. When he got in the right locker room on the right team, he produced and won a championship.
When he basically became a role player.
Bingo.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, so I get the concept. And I'll tell you that there's a lot about Hall to me is worse than Kessel. He might be more talented, more physical. But I think he's worse. Like, I just look at him and go, this guy is... And how about that draft, looking back? Could you find two bigger a-holes at the top of the draft competitively?
Back with more of your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the entrance to the garden at Banner's Kitchen and Tap, Felger and Maz are live for Bruins game day on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the Sports Hub app.
All right, continuing with your thoughts, starting off Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, before we get to the Brady Watch, which is coming up next hour. Ed in Agawam has a thought on the Seas last night. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, I wanted to give you some pushback on the Rockets. I know that when I hang up, or even when I am, you'll make fun of me. But in the 60s, when we played on the playground, we had two guys, Ray and Albert, who played just like Harden and Westbrook. They jumped higher than all of us. They ran faster with the ball than we could run without the ball. The only way to stop them was to hack them. And so we did. But the Celtics have to realize that they're not on the playground. So why don't they play a modern type of game and not get into these two guys' airspace?
Okay, thanks for the call. They did. They played zone. Harden's out there flopping around. He goes up for a three-pointer and kicks his leg out and did these cheesy, like, you know, and you have no right to complain about it because I think Paul Pierce is one of the guys that invented the thing. You know, getting a guy to go up and then, you know, diving into him. But, you know, like this stuff now where you'll come around a high screen outside the three-point line and the dude will hand check you and you'll immediately chuck it up. Three free throws. It's just garbage.
I know, I hate that
call.
It's a
garbage game. It's just a garbage product. I hated that game last night. I thought it was boring as crap. I just had to whistle, go to the line, chuck and duck. I thought it's garbage. I think it's a garbage way to play. I can't stand that.
And you know what the sad part about Harden, too, is he doesn't need to draw the fouls out there. He gets that ball off so fast. He's not Steph Curry fast, but he was dropping them in everybody's face last night, whether it was Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward. I mean, like, you know, they put Tatum out there, none of them could stop him.
All they're doing is putting stress on the refs. All they do. Bob and Hull, go ahead, Bob.
All right, Mikey, you've never been more right in your life. Jenna Hull, 100%. He, you know, Sagan was a victim of Claude Julien. Why would you not want this kid here?
Oh, well, there's a lot of reasons not to want him. He hasn't worked out anywhere he's been. He's made the playoffs once and lost in five or six, something like that.
Five games.
Never won squat. Never won squat. Never won squat in Edmonton, New Jersey. Had him. He won an MVP in Jersey, and they traded him. What does that tell you?
Tells you plenty.
What does that tell you? And now Arizona's had him for 2 months, and he's already being talked about. So the guy's a real putz.
No, you use the word toxic. I think he's one of those guys.
Okay, but this is a true, true rental situation. Coming into a really strong room. Coming into a really strong room where he is a bit player. If he opens up his yapper, Char's going to come over and give him a crack. I mean, I just think with Chara there, I mean, you have to treat the Bruins a little bit like the Patriots. With that, you know, here it's going to be a little different. And it's a short sample. And it has that talent.
I know the talent. But again, so you focus on the talent outside of the MVP year. Has he been an overachiever or an underachiever?
Underachiever. I'm also more concerned. I'm
Mike, he has no heart.
I'm almost more concerned about the left wing thing. Like, they got left wings. You know, they need someone on the right side.
Can't he play the right side, though?
I don't know. Let's say he can. You know, so maybe that's a little different. But I don't know. You know, right shot, right wing for Krejci. Like, how long have we been at that? And this guy plays left. But either way, boy, man.
No thanks.
You can add an MVP for 2 months like that?
Giant Richard.
Brendan and Woburn. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller, long time listener. One guy that you guys haven't mentioned yet that I saw in an article the other day was Anderson. I think him or Kreider are the two best options because
Josh Anderson in Columbus?
Yes. I mean, he gave the Bruins fits last year in the playoffs. That was a hard fought playoff series. They play a similar style. And I think just him or Kreider are going to be hungrier for it. Kreider's going to get a big deal somewhere. He's going to be competitive and he's played at BC. So comes back, he's going to realize this is his best chance at a cup, and he's going to be trying his ass off for you. So
okay,
I just want to see what you guys.
The thing about Kreider is you're going to have to, I'm not interested in outbidding the whole league, and maybe you'd have to do that on Taylor Hall too, or I don't know, maybe Taylor Hall's market would be a little bit subdued because he's such an a-hole. Kreider, I think, is going to be the top guy in the market, and you're going to have to outbid whatever 12 other teams, and I just think the price is going to get stupid on Kreider. And do I want another BC guy? You know,
I was just going to say, the fact that he went to BC, is that an asset or negative?
But, I mean, he fits the bill. Look, I don't mean, I'm just kind of half-teasing on that. This Anderson kid.
Him I like.
He's what you're looking for, Maz.
He's a moose.
Power forward.
He's a moose. Now, that I like.
So he was the guy.
That's going to cost you, though.
He's a guy, I believe, that was going back and forth with Charlie McAvoy in the playoffs last year, who McAvoy then sculled in game 5 or 6, whatever it was, and got suspended.
Correct.
So that's the guy, but he plays that game. Big dude along the wall. I think he's a right shot, right wing, I believe. Is he?
Yep, he is. 6'3", 2.25". He's a moose.
Yes, sir. Let me see his goals. Does he score? Probably not. But, you know.
He had 27 last year. This year he's only played 26 games.
I'll take it. 27 goals. He's a restricted free agent, right? So, to me, that's the guy. That would be a great guy. But I think you're giving up a big haul for
definitely.
That.
Definitely. Yeah, that'll cost you.
Matt in Framingham, quickly. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. What? Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. There's two reasons why I think the Bruins need to make a very significant move. One is you're not going to get the path of least resistance that you did last year.
That's right.
And if they somehow do, they got a rapid support bigger than the city of Boston if that happens. The second one is if you happen to face Tampa Bay early in the playoffs, you're going to get a highly motivated Tampa Bay Lightning. Why? Because of their unceremoniously early exit the playoffs. And if you don't think they're going to be motivated by that, just again.
So you're so right. You can't say, well, if we just get to where we were last year, we're in Game 7 of the Cup Finals. No, 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 no. This year, you are going to at some point get Tampa, Washington, and or Pittsburgh. Maybe you'll get two of the three, all three, one of the three. You're not going to thread the needle and avoid Tampa, the Capitals, and Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah, and you'd get Tampa in the second round.
You need to be better. You need to be better than you were last year. Tell point blank, you need to be better.
Yeah, so the caller raised a good point. I think the road is going to be a lot tougher. And, you know, they ran into St. Louis at the end of it last year and got knocked around. And so what's going to happen this year? They got to get bigger and stronger. It's a huge variable.
This is, beggars can't be choosers. And this is silly to even think about. But I did think about it. Because St. Louis is having a good year, too. They're right there. Do you want the rematch or not want the rematch?
No.
Do you look at it and say, bad matchup, we can't out-muscle that team and they have our number? Or do you want them again?
I would say bad matchup, and this is why. Because if you get that far, in all probability, you will have already gone through Tampa and Washington.
And they'll be beat up again. That was half the problem against St. Louis last year.
Exactly, Murray. You're not going to survive it.
I want them.
So, look, I get it. I'm just telling you that.
Because they're not super talented, so they're just tough. Like, I want to see the Bruins say, you're not going to do that to us again.
They got a little less tough last night. Isn't that an awful story? Did you see that?
Oh, Hor Bullmeister. Oh, brutal. Was it a full-on heart attack?
So all it said was a cardiac event. I mean, that was scary. That's like the thing that happened to Peverly that time,
yes.
Remember?
Collapsed on the bench. They canceled the game. And so for them to cancel the game has to tell you in the moment.
Terrifying.
They thought he might have passed away or something.
Yeah, I mean, they brought the stretcher over to the bench, right? And they literally put him on right there. And immediately guys started calling over because he just collapsed while drinking a water bottle on the bench. That thing was terrifying.
Brutal. Ryan, I mean, not that you want to think of it in those terms, but maybe that does hurt their toughness. But I'm just saying either way, I'd love to see the Bruins stand up to it this time and just, you know, come back into that matchup again and say, we're not going to let you do that to us again.
I love the mentality of that. I'm just telling you that. If the road is what we think it's going to be, they'll never survive it. I don't think any team could survive it. I'm not dumping on them for it. If you have to go through Tampa, Washington, and St. Louis, you're not going to win.
Felgren Maz here from Banners at the Garden in advance of Bruins Canadians. So we've opened the door to some Bruins talk. A good, juicy Taylor Hall trade rumor on the table. Celtics last night as well on the table. We will mix in the latest on the Brady Watch. We'll do that right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.